Bonk!
Dan.
Hello.
Hello. It's the first episode of the new year.
It is. It's a new year. I don't know if anyone noticed. It is 2021.
Now everything's going to change.
I think so.
Bad things are going to be good now.
Overnight. Overnight. Yes, absolutely. Here we are in the new year. We don't really do the resolution thing, do we?
No.
It tends to align with me wanting to start being healthier,
yes.
But without being like, I never say my New Year's resolution.
Yeah, well, it works out because holiday time is usually a time of excess between Christmas Eve, Christmas, New Year, you know, just general lazing about because of the vacation. But yeah, it's a good time to kind of start anew.
Yeah, and even this weird year and everything where we're not really, like, you know, flying around doing a bunch of different Christmas stuff or New Year's parties or anything, mm-hmm. you know, we're doing these Zoom things and everything, and it's like, oh, okay, we're doing a New Year's Eve Zoom thing with friends, and it's like, well, okay, let's have some drinks, let's order some food, let's do some business here, so.
Well, I mean, and also just personally, my lifestyle choices maybe haven't been the best. I mean, in recent days, I've been, you know, being good, but the past few weeks have been me staying up till like 4 a.m., sometimes 11 a.m. playing Cyberpunk, so.
Yes, and you have not been blowing through that. You have been doing everything, soaking that game up like a sponge,
mm-hmm.
every side activity and all that business. I am much behind you in that game, but I hope to get caught up. I've been, you know, playing, you know, the hottest new releases. I got to get caught up on, like, Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins on the Game Boy. You know, the important stuff. But yeah, I'm excited for a new year. I hope
new
everyone...
New year, new you.
That's what they say.
That's what they say.
It's still going to be just me and you and everyone
so,
else,
cause
I think.
You're so great.
Oh, geez. Geez Louise. My goodness. I hope everyone enjoyed our Panty Awards for 2020. That was a lot of fun to record. Mm-hmm. That was our longest episode ever. But it's fun. I don't know. Year-end award stuff I've always had fun with.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you want to hear us debate a bunch of different fun categories and stuff, I guess I'm talking to the people who this is their first episode for some reason. But, yeah, go back one, and there's the Panty Awards right there. So, yeah.
If you want a nice little recap of everything we talked about in the year before.
Mm-hmm. Rife with spoilers.
And it's the Panty Awards, not the Panty Awards.
Yes, I find that when I say that on stream, I have to spell it out and explain. It is based on the name of this
Halfway
podcast.
Halfway there. Whoa! Black underwear!
For those listening to the audio podcast, which is the only way to listen to this, she did just look down to check the color of her underpants and pulled it up to say the color of her underpants, which I've seen it with purple.
Usually it's purple underwear. Purple works well with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to do the thing we do on this podcast?
So, what is that, Dan? What do we do on this podcast?
We watch things from streaming services. Again, if this is your first time listening to it somehow.
Why don't you give the folks at home a little background on who you are?
My name's Dan Reichert. I'm a video games man. And you're Bonk. You're a video games woman.
I'm Dan's wife. What do you want?
You're a video games woman. You have more
According
actual...
According to Wikipedia, I'm Bianca Mondo,
yeah,
Dan Reichert's wife.
Yes, yes. And my mom has texted me being like, oh, apparently you don't even have a mother because that's not listed on the Wikipedia. It's like, no, yes, you are. Not listed, but I do have a mother, yes. And she's great.
Oh, she's fabulous.
Yes, hello, Mom. She's
wonderful.
Not listening, but yeah, she's great. She's excellent. Your mom's listening.
Oh, hi, Mom. She's great as well. Just
hello.
A fantastic little woman.
Yes.
She's real short and cute and sweet as can be.
She watches a lot of the programming that we discuss on this here podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, I feel like in the last year, it has been a ton of HBO Max, some Netflix. HBO Max, like we talked about on the Panty Awards, mm-hmm. definitely our streaming service of the year.
Well, we even ventured into a little Funimation during the My Hero Academia viewing.
We did, which that worked great.
Mm-hmm.
But for this one, we're going to go with one that it seems like it's got a bright future because they've released their slate of like, well, we're putting out 400 Star Wars movies and 85 new Pixar movies and all the Marvels and stuff are going there. It is Disney Plus. We have not used a lot of Disney Plus in our time.
Did we do an episode on The Mandalorian or we just...
We did it. Okay, so The Mandalorian, which I have heard people talking about a lot in the last few months, we watched the first two episodes. I think we thought it was going to be a bulk like Netflix drop or whatever, but they only had the two episodes. So we covered those two And then off stream or off podcast, we watched, I watched the first six episodes of the first season.
Yeah.
You kind of.
I petered out at a certain point. I think it didn't really grab me enough to return to it, you know, as it was released on a weekly, you know, not the whole bulk thing, but released weekly.
Sure.
And I think I might have just forgotten about it. And now I feel like, well, if I went back to it, I'd probably have to start from the beginning.
Yeah, I remember I watched a little past you because I'd been like traveling at the time and Disney Plus had a download feature. And so I just like downloaded a couple episodes to my phone and I was like, ah, these are like 40 minutes long. These are okay to take in on a plane or whatever. But I didn't watch the last two episodes of the first season, which everyone tells me, oh, you got to go back. You got to go back to it. Just haven't really felt the drive. I know people are loved this season two. I saw a spoiler thing that everyone was talking about, and it seems like it's doing some fun stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is about. I love Star Wars. Yeah. I've seen every one of those movies multiple times, except for like probably the last two. I've only seen once in the theaters. It's the expanded universe type stuff outside of the video games, because I've always been interested in the video games for the most part. Squadrons was not like Rogue Squadron. I was mistaken. But like the books, the shows, the Clone Wars, all that stuff, I've just never really dove into them, and I don't have a good reason why. Yeah. Everyone tells me like Clone Wars is great. I've never seen a second of it. I don't even really know what a lot of those shows are. I know some are CG.
Yeah.
Mandalorian's the big live action one. I just don't really. I don't know why. I don't have a good. It's not like, oh, they don't feel real to me. It's not real Star Wars. I don't feel that strongly about Star Wars stuff. I just kind of watch the movies. That feels like the big epic thing.
We've watched the movies like Rogue One and the
Solo.
Solo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen those. I'm kind of the same way. I've watched the mainline movies, but you know, I'm surprised I'm not more interested in the offshoot stuff like Mandalorian, because my biggest gripe with the mainline movies is that it's always like Skywalker stuff. Like, come on, no one else can have the Force or whatever. Like,
sure.
But yeah, I mean, the video games too, obviously KOTOR 1 and KOTOR 2 and Force Unleashed and, you know, that stuff I've played. But yeah, I agree. I'm just, I don't know. I feel like if something's that good, it's going to be surfaced and I will get my attention in some way. But.
Yeah, I don't have a good excuse though. Cause it's like, I feel like it has surfaced. I feel like I've seen like everyone on social media and friends of mine who know my taste and everything have been like, everything's been like, oh my God, season two of The Mandalorian is incredible. You have to keep going.
Yeah.
And I just haven't.
Well, I'm watching The Crown right now.
Yeah.
So maybe when I'm done with that and I'm looking for something else to watch, I'll queue up Mandalorian again.
The Queen has the Force, right? So it's not just Skywalker stuff.
That's actually why she's the monarch. She is in possession of the Force.
Gotcha.
And the Crown is about the never-ending battle between the dark and the light within her.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, maybe I should check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty captivating.
Yes. Well, now that we've got you in the mood with a bunch of Star Wars talk, let's talk about Soul, which is a completely different movie that just happens to be on the same streaming service.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. That's what we were talking about. Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It's all to say that we haven't really done a ton of Disney Plus stuff, but now we're back.
Yes.
Soul.
We are back with Soul. Because I think as much as we are not Disney heads, is that what Disney fans call themselves?
Sure.
They call them like Mickeys or I'm a Goofy or a Pluto. I don't know what Disney fans, a bunch of Walts. I don't know what they call themselves. Do they have a fandom name? Like, what are the people that like
know.
Live at Disney World call themselves?
I don't know, but I hope it's a bunch of Walts.
Yeah, I'm one of the Walts. Hello, I'm Walt. I'm Walt. They all have the name tag. You know, it's the Walt cult. Yeah, we are not that by any means.
We've talked about it. Cult.
We've talked about it plenty of times where it's like, yeah, we watched like Aladdin and Lion King 7, loved it as kids, and it didn't really appeal to us going forward. That said, I feel like Pixar has had more of an appeal to us.
Right.
First of all, just in terms of just their animation prowess, they are ridiculous.
Oh yeah. I mean we watched Inside Out last year, right? We watched it. We covered it for the podcast.
That must have been last year.
But even that was a few years old when we watched it. And even that is just like, you know, there are certain aspects of that movie that are just really breathtaking. Like the part of the effects around the characters. I remember they had like a fuzzy, like the textures and everything.
Yeah, it's like you want to touch it.
And now, I mean, we get, and then Toy Story, I remember, was absolutely incredible. It's like they legitimately look like toys now. They don't look like graphics anymore.
Yeah,
but,
like the texture and everything looks completely real.
It's insane. And that was the case also with Soul. I mean, it's just absolutely, like, obviously the character design is very stylized and they don't look like real people. But just some of those, if you were to take a still frame of some of the shots of the city there, it looks unbelievable. The lighting is just so insane.
The lighting, the storefronts, the cars, like it's not like boring photorealistic.
Right.
But the stuff does it make sense? It looks real, but it's not photorealistic. Like the textures, the brick, the street,
totally.
The cars, it all looks real and reflective and deep. But like it all has that kind of like cartoonish look to it. Like sure. they did a great job with the human characters yeah. in this. Like, oh my God, they're very expressive and, you know, like everything looked amazing.
Yeah. And I think that speaks to how amazing the art direction is. I mean, it's so cliche at this point to talk about how good Pixar is at their jobs. But I mean, the fact that you can look at a still frame from that movie and just think it like this looks like real, but yeah. everything has that stylized touch to it. But the fact that everything has that same treatment, it looks so I hate the word cohesive, but it looks cohesive and just it's unbelievably amazing. And like the texture of skin of everything is just it's just even if you don't if you mute the movie and don't know what's going on in the story, just watching it, it's just so fun to watch.
And even if you think you would get used to it, like, you know, we haven't seen every Pixar movie, but we did an episode about all the shorts and everything. Mm-hmm. It's like, we should know this. We know that Pixar is extremely good, but still, we started this movie up and I was like, God damn it, everything looks amazing. Yeah. Like, they're wizards there.
Yeah, they really are. It's incredible. I mean, they're just the best at what they do, it seems like. I mean, and that goes beyond just the visual stuff. Their storytelling is just, I mean, it's second to none, really. Like, Inside Out, kind of, it was you said it was the same guy, Peter Docter.
Pete Docter. He did Monsters, Inc., Up, Inside Out, and this.
I know, I haven't seen Up, but I know people often talk about how, like, emotionally, you know, difficult that is to watch at times. And Inside Out, it kind of, like, dealt with this abstract subject matter, but it made it fun, and it made it, you know, way more interesting than some academic, you know, presentation of this stuff would be.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of did the same thing with Soul, where they had this abstract concept of the body and the soul and the meaning of life, like these existential issues that you wouldn't expect to be in a, like, supposedly a kid's movie.
Right.
But it did present it in a way that I feel like, obviously, you know, as adults, we can appreciate what's being said and, you know, the metaphors and everything like that. But I feel like even children would appreciate it to maybe not being able to grasp the entirety of the plot
sure.
or the significance of what they're trying to say. But, you know, I think even kids would find it enjoyable.
It is packaged in a way where, yeah, like these are like existential issues mm-hmm. that, but they managed to package it in a way where it's like a kid could just like understand like, oh, Inside Out. Like, oh, my emotions in my head are represented by these things here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, they're very, 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 very good at this. Now, to talk about what Soul is, mm-hmm. I thought about Inside Out a lot during this. Mm-hmm. And I almost thought at times that this felt like an early draft of Inside Out, that, like, they kind of worked on stuff and everything and changed it. And they're like, okay, we were going to make this thing where we had this, like, fantasy land that was kind of based on the inside of your personality or emotions or whatever. But then there's also the real world. You know, right. that's, like, Inside Out kind of did that. So mm-hmm. it felt to me where it's like, oh, did you know that Inside Out before, you know, it was originally going to be this thing? Because it does have this other world. There is the great before and the great beyond. Mm-hmm. So it's dealing with, like, personality before it's like imbued into a person.
Right.
And then there's also like they kind of hint at the afterlife and heaven a lot.
Right. Obviously they don't want to make any firm stances because, you know, I think if they made it religious in any way, it would alienate a good portion of the audience.
It's interesting you say that because I was reading about Pete Docter, and I guess he's a Christian, but he has gone on like in interviews and saying like, yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, I've got my thoughts about this stuff, but with any of my movies, you know, I just feel that people don't like being lectured mm-hmm. to. And so I just don't ever try to imbue any kind of like, you should think this way about life or death right. or anything. So that is a calculated decision that like, even though like there is a heaven basically mm-hmm. in this movie, it never feels preachy about
it. Well, anything. Yeah, I mean, it's the great beyond. It's so ambiguous, too. I mean, when people die, they're on this bridge. It's kind of reminded me of the giant, I forgot what it was called, that giant snake in Dragon Ball that, like,
the snake way.
Whatever that was called. But it leads people up to this big portal, and as soon as they hit it, there's like it's like a bug zapper. I love that sound.
Yeah.
But you don't know what happens to them after. I mean, it's, you know, who knows? It doesn't make any judgment calls. It doesn't make any statements. The only thing that we see like that's material is the great before, which obviously it's easier to, you know, talk about that stuff in a non-controversial way.
Sure. It's like, oh, this is where personalities come from. Right. You know, it has really nothing to do with religion at all.
Right.
So the thing that gets us there to this kind of like metaphysical stuff is Joe Gardner. He is a jazz musician, and he's dreaming of becoming like this, you know, big time jazz musician.
Right.
Not for the fame and fortune rock star type stuff, but because he just genuinely just loves playing mm-hmm. music, basically. And there's an interesting amount of like mom disapproving stuff in this, considering he seems to be like a mid-40s man, mm-hmm. right?
I would say maybe mid to late 30s.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. It's hard to say. But, I mean, I was reminded a lot of my brother, Tommy, who, you know, similarly has just completely devoted his life to music at the sacrifice of literally everything else. Playing the guitar has been his number one thing. Like, I would go to bed at night and the music room shared a wall with my bedroom. And at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, he would still be playing guitar. And he gets anxious if he's not playing the guitar. Like, that's how obsessed he is.
Yeah.
And when it came time for him to go to school, to college, you know, my mother, similar to Joe Gardner's mom, wanted him to, you know, have a safety net in a way and pursue a career in music education. So that's what he ended up doing, though he didn't obviously use that at all. You know, there is a risk to, of course, to, you know, not taking the easy way and going the way where there's more question marks. And, you know, I mean, like, Tommy just bought a house with the money that his guitar earned him. Like, so it can work out if you're devoted enough. But even so, I mean, as is the case with Joe, you know, things aren't necessarily going the way he wanted to no fault of his own. Yeah, it's just it presents this question of, like, well, what is the most important thing? Like, should your quote unquote obsession be what your life is all about, or should you, you know, maybe go the more secure path and then find pleasure and like, life doesn't have to be all about one thing. And I think for some people it can be, and obviously the case of my brother, it can be, and you could be successful that way, but there's a fine line between, like, a dangerous obsession and, like, you know, a driving force, if you will.
Yeah, and it's a complicated thing that the movie plays with here, and I think it does it pretty well. And, you know, I was talking to Alex Boniello, old Broadway Alex, about this movie, because, you know, he posted his trademark, I watched a movie, and now I'm crying everywhere, picture.
Crying everywhere.
Which it's every time he sees, like, a NuGenix commercial, and he's just like, oh, my God.
Well, to be fair, I mean, those commercials are...
It's more like The Big Hunk, yeah. But so... She'll like it too. So he was talking about how it really, really hit with him, mm-hmm. because just to fast forward a little bit in the movie, we'll get to the Great Beyond and all that stuff. But Joe Gardner wants to play with this Dorothea Williams jazz quartet, basically, mm-hmm. in this, like, cool New York, you know, jazz lounge and stuff like that.
Right.
And he does it at one point in the movie, but then he realizes right afterwards it's kind of like that. Oh, like. What now? Like,
right.
This was my whole thing that I wanted my whole life. I thought this was my driving purpose, and now I got it, and it doesn't just immediately just, like, everything's perfect, you know? Like,
yeah.
And so Boniello talked to me about, like, really, you know, feeling, like, he didn't go into specifics, but, like, I have to imagine he's a guy that, you know, he loves acting and everything, and he has made it big. I mean, one of the biggest plays on Broadway and everything. And, like, yeah, like, there is something interesting to that, because I think a lot of people think, like, oh, my dream would be this, my dream would be this. But then for all the people that got it, they'll all tell you that, like, well, it doesn't just fix everything immediately if there's, like, a void or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, that could be said about a lot of different things in life. Like, oh, if I just get this promotion, I'll be set. That's all I need. All I need is this one thing. Or once I achieve my dream, you know, performing with this person or doing whatever, then my life will really begin.
This promotion, raise,
then things will really start. And then, you know, that happens and life just continues on. It's not like suddenly the sky turns green or something like that. Like,
yeah,
you
if you're dealing with, like, depression or something beforehand, you're not suddenly cured of it. You know, it's not like everything that ailed you beforehand is suddenly cured.
Right. And I think, you know, the movie makes an interesting point that, like, you push everything else to the wayside in pursuit of this one goal. And then when it happens, you know, nothing really changes. I mean, it's awesome and it's great and you should be happy if you achieve something that you wanted. But, you know, you should still also be able to realize that there's so much in just the basic everyday life that you might have taken for granted because you were so obsessed with this one goal that, like, I think this movie does a great job of demonstrating that, like, taking pleasures in the small things in everyday life.
Yeah, that's, you know, and you know how much I take stock in, like, meditation and almost, like, Buddhist philosophies and stuff like that, where it's just, like, it's all about the present moment and just recognizing the beauty and finding mm-hmm. finding happiness and stillness and just like, you know, just sitting there breathing or something, right. you know, or listening to sounds or something. Stuff that's always there, not external things that, you know, come and go.
Right.
And so this does do a good job of kind of like, it very much does have what's the word for it? Moral? Mm-hmm. The moral of the story is just like, finding that joy in everyday life. Mm-hmm. Like they show it very specifically at the end where it's like, oh, this little like leaf I saw falling or this lollipop I got, you know, mm-hmm. and just like having all the good memories of like, oh, this bagel and just finding joy in those tiny little spots.
Right. Yeah. Know? Yeah. I mean, if you think of like life as kind of like a pool of water, whether something is having a slice of amazing pizza or, you know, making a really successful presentation in front of all your business colleagues, it's all going to make the same ripple. You know what I mean? The same ripple in the water. So it's like, take stock of those small things because then your life won't be just about one thing. It can be about everything in different ways. Like, I mean, I know that I've expressed to you, you know, my love of the small things in life. And, you know, I take walks every day and, you know, I name the animals that I see. Mm-hmm. There's Senor Turd and Slushy, who I actually haven't seen in a while.
No, Slushy went south.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, if it's a beautiful day out, enjoy the beautiful day. If you have a nice new pair of shoes, wear the new pair of shoes. Make yourself look nice if it makes you feel good. Go out with your friends, you know, enjoy the fresh air. Go for a drive. Like, if you go to the store and something's on sale, that's fucking awesome. Something on sale that you were going to buy. You know what I mean?
Time for a nap. You know,
yeah,
enjoy that
time
nap.
For a nap. Of course, yeah. I mean, like, when it comes to life and the ripples that tiny things create, it's all the same, whether it's a really big deal to you or not. And, you know, just, I think this movie did a really good job of communicating.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That said, it's not without its critiques.
Sure. And real quick, before we get to that, I just want to mention, you talk about the little things in life and everything, mm-hmm. and I don't think I expected the movie to have that kind of moral. I expected it from the beginning to kind of be a thing where it's like, oh, he shouldn't be satisfied with just being mm-hmm. a middle school jazz teacher because he has these loftier things that he wants. And it wasn't that. And then I was like, oh, wait, is it going to be the opposite? That like, or is he going to learn at the end that being a teacher doesn't mean he's a failure right. and he didn't have to be a big jazz musician to be, he'd find joy in inspiring right. other people. And like, it kind of touches on some of that stuff, but it is more about the little things in life than
right.
it is the career path type
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. And I think if it did take a stance one way or another, either by him like being rejuvenated as a teacher or him, you know, finally embracing his solo jazz career or whatever, it doesn't take a stance because I think if it did, then it would kind of violate what it's trying to say about enjoying the little aspects of everyday life that we tend to take for granted.
Yeah, and then what does that mean for, like, if they are a teacher, to be like, oh, wait, is this movie saying I fucked up?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like,
yeah, it's... no, not at all. And I think, too, the ending was really great, how it kind of ended on an ambiguous note. I always love sad endings and I love ambiguous endings. Mm-hmm. And this was, it didn't really tell you exactly what he ended up doing, which I thought was a good call.
Didn't he die at the end?
No, he didn't die at the end. They gave him a second chance at life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I totally, yeah. My memory is not great. But you were going to say your criticisms.
Right. I thought a lot of the humor in this movie fell flat for me. And I was surprised considering the cast and Tina Fey, and normally I find her funny. But yeah, a lot of the humor felt flat. It felt like a lot of really like meme-y humor and like, I don't know. It didn't really do it for me. I feel like I watched it and didn't let out one laugh the whole time.
Yeah. I thought I remember there was one time where we both had a chuckle, but it definitely wasn't a thing where we were laughing throughout. So like, yeah, the humor, I don't know if I, like you say, like meme, you know, type humor. There's a lot of like kind of quick cut of like, mm-hmm. so 22, the soul that doesn't have a body yet, the mm-hmm. Tina Fey character. There's a lot of like, I've been here for millennia and no one's been able to teach me mm-hmm. shit. And it's like cut to Copernicus being like, oh, Copernicus thing. And then it's like, oh, cut to Abe Lincoln. He's like, oh, Abe Lincoln thing. You know, it's like, but I don't know. That kind of read to me more as like kind of sassy humor for kids than maybe like meme humor.
Well, I guess I don't know. Things like, you know, like, for example, the cat in the sun, like just immediately falling asleep, or I don't know. There were a few instances that made me feel like, oh, this is just kind of just like apropos of nothing. Let's just put this in here because people laugh at this stuff kind of thing.
I would argue that like I could see that same joke being in like a 1992 Pixar movie mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, suddenly the soul is in a cat and they inexplicably find themselves like, oh, wow, I'm drawn to this sun thing. You know, like I don't know if I would necessarily throw that into like meme humor necessarily.
I mean, that's probably the wrong word to say it. What I'm trying to say is just the humor just felt removed from the actual situations I had. It just felt like it was referencing recognizable things that we all know, and just to be like, hey, you remember this thing? And that
sure.
kind of thing.
And I will say that a lot of that body swapping stuff with the cat, and so basically there's a part where so Joe's soul and 22's soul, and the 22 doesn't actually have like a body. That's the thing. Some of this is kind of convoluted. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, wait, so do the souls represent like before a baby is born? Like, are they going to be like the personality of a new infant, or are they the soul or spark of someone that already exists, but they don't have this spark? Like, I didn't really understand what happens when a soul comes to Earth. Mm-hmm. Like, is it like a newborn baby's personality?
Yeah, I was under the impression that that was the case because it's called the Great Before.
Yeah, so yeah, I assumed it was like, okay, once this thing is ready, we'll put it into a body that's, you know, a new person, you mm-hmm. know. But yeah, the 22 and Joe fall down to Earth, but they like fall into the wrong, because first of all, he's in a hospital because he fell in a manhole cover because he was so fell into a manhole because he was so up in his head about mm-hmm. like, oh, I made it into this quartet. And so he's got a therapy cat on him, and the souls fall into the wrong bodies, which a lot of this stuff just didn't really play for me. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. I kind of lost track of what the metaphor was supposed yeah. to be, you know?
All of the stuff that took place in The Great Before, it didn't land at all for me.
Yeah.
All of the Jerrys and like, the in being in the zone and, like, because, you know, in my, like I said, in my head, The Great Before means, you know, souls before they've entered a body. But then there's a whole section for being in the zone, which makes me think, like, isn't that something you experience when you're, like, really feeling something?
Sure. And I'm with you that, like, a lot of the stuff with the Jerrys and The Great Before, that wasn't really doing it for me because I kept thinking of Inside Out. And I kept seeing of, like, the way the different islands of, like, emotions and stuff were. Like, I thought that was so imaginative and there was so much, like, variety mm-hmm. there. Where this is all kind of the same, just kind of, like, ethereal blobs type mm-hmm. thing, you know? That didn't do much for me. But the zone was the one part of that I actually liked a lot because I liked how it had a differentiation between the people that were in the zone mm-hmm. because they were wrapped up in their music or they were meditating or focusing really on something. But then there were also people in the zone that were like wrapped up in like addictive or obsessive behaviors, mm-hmm. you know, like checking their phones and stuff. And those were like the lost souls. That like
right.
I kind of like the idea of both ways, like whether you're in the zone for a good, healthy thing or mm-hmm. you're just kind of like obsessing over something in a bad way, you're kind of just kind of removed from time and space. But you're mm-hmm. kind of in that same headspace where like time can just go by and you don't really know. Like, you know what I mean?
Sure.
I thought that was super, super cool.
Yeah, I guess it just didn't make sense in the context of The Great Before. Like, why was that there? I don't know. Maybe that's just me being an idiot or I missed an important detail or something. But
no, I just kind of looked at it separately mm-hmm. where it's just like, okay, the zone is this one thing where, like, living people can be, but then The Great Before is where, like, that's the thing. It is convoluted in a way that I think Inside Out was not.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely more abstract concepts that it's dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe if I watched it again, I would have more of a grasp of what went on. But yeah, that's what gave me pause as far as like, is this movie like, would kids necessarily understand what's going on? I'm sure they would appreciate, you know, the fun antics and whatnot, but would they actually, you know, be able to follow it? But
yeah, it's like the metaphor when they swap bodies too is kind of like, okay, so 22 is in Joe's body, but to everyone else, it sounds like Joe and looks like mm-hmm. Joe and everything. And so I guess I get that because that's her discovering that, like, the joy of being alive, mm-hmm. you know, like she notices this maple seed, she notices, you know, she gets the haircut and has a great deep conversation with the barber and stuff like that. So I guess I get that. But then it's like, what's Joe's thing there? Is Joe, he's in a cat body. So mm-hmm. is it just comic relief? They're like, oh, this guy's a cat now. Or was that too... get him to realize something about the way he was living his life? Maybe it helped him learn to appreciate the small things?
Well, I mean, he was, like, he did pretend to be her mentor in The Great Before. Remember, the souls were assigned mentors. So I think, in a way, he was mentoring her as well. You know, she just happened to be in his body.
Yeah, but she wound up teaching him some lessons.
Well, of course.
Yes, of course. Yeah, it was, at the end, he inspires 22 to, mm-hmm. to come back to Earth and live. But also, you don't really... Again, I don't know if this is intentional ambiguity or just confusing, but like, so what is 22? Are we to believe that she's just like a new baby? Or I actually thought at the end that she was going to get implanted into, remember Connie, one of his mm-hmm. students? She like had been hating band and everything. And she like came to his door and like, I thought like, oh, that's where they're going with that, is that she didn't have the spark. She mm-hmm. didn't have this motivation or this drive to keep going. And I thought 22 was going to be like the soul that like somehow, you know, sparked joy or passion into Connie. And she realized mm-hmm. that she did love music and wanted to pursue it. But then it's just like, well, no, I don't really know where 22 goes there. I mean, maybe you're not supposed to know.
Yeah, but... I just went down to Earth somewhere. But that's I kind of appreciate the ambiguity there. Another thing I would be remiss if I didn't call out was the scene where he finally performs live with the Dorothea Williams mm-hmm. Quartet at the Half Note, which is obviously like the Blue Note, which is a real place in New York City. I thought that was so well done. As mm-hmm. someone who's sat through hours, and I shouldn't say sat through, I've been at hundreds of hours of my brother's jazz performances at, you know, restaurants and concert venues throughout my life. It was such a good representation of what an actual jazz show is like. It's real jazz music. It isn't like smooth jazz, which I feel like a lot of movies would just default to when you say jazz. It was like actual jazz and just like, you know, how the musicians communicate with each other while they're performing. Like, because, you know, it's improvised.
Yeah.
So it's not like they figure out before, okay, here's when you will do your solo. No, it's like all just like eye contact and like tiny gestures that like kind of signal to the next person, like, all right, we're going to give the bass player a chance to do their solo or whatever. It's just like all this nonverbal communication. I think the movie did a really good job of showing that.
That's so cool because, like, yeah, I didn't know much about jazz beforehand, and you know way more about music than I do, and you definitely kind of explained a bit about what you just said about jazz, mm-hmm. and I really do appreciate that. Like, the idea of that improvisational mm-hmm. nature is so cool. And I heard they brought in John Batiste. He's the band leader for Colbert, mm-hmm. and he's a jazz musician. And so I guess he kind of helped him with all the music. Like, he made the jazz pieces, like original jazz pieces and everything. And I read they did some really super complicated thing when they were actually, like, capturing, like, for the animation and everything. I'm sure for somebody who knows more about music than I do, there's probably some fascinating information there.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did the jazz stuff, and then they got Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross to do kind of the more like weird ethereal, like new age mm-hmm. stuff in the Great
All-Star.
Before and Beyond. Yeah,
all-star cast of soundtrack makers.
Yeah. Well, All-Star was Smash Mouth.
Oh, yeah,
they were
sorry,
also yes. That was a weird spot. But yeah, it sounds like they did it right, basically. Like, I mean, if they want to do this thing about jazz and everything, it felt genuine. And,
exactly.
Like, they did it right, mm-hmm. you know. So obviously just a ton of talent goes into this. You know, Jamie Foxx I thought was great as Joe. You know, Tina Fey, I love Tina Fey, but you said that you didn't like her performance too much. And I don't know, that kind of like sassy, let's pop the kids type of a character doesn't ever really play to me.
And
you know?
I felt like it could have been anyone. Like, the fact that it was Tina Fey was just like, all right, oh, interesting, it's Tina Fey. But like, I felt like anyone could have been that character. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I did find that character more obnoxious mm-hmm. than entertaining. I liked the Joe character a lot. But
Joe
yeah,
was great.
22 didn't do a ton for me. And yeah, the Jerry stuff, The Great Beyond and all that, like whenever they would cut to, you know, them, the count was off because mm-hmm. he escaped the Great Beyond escalator or whatever. Like, I don't know. That whole story thread just wasn't doing a whole lot for me. Mm-hmm. Versus I think in Inside Out, they did those side stories and stuff. Even that one, the weird elephant, whatever, imagination character, like, that played a little better, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, like, because even though those characters were, like, for example, there was the Rage guy. I forgot what, I don't know if his name was just Rage or
the
whatever.
The Lewis Black character?
Yeah. I mean, obviously very grating, but, like, hilarious and then, like, fun to watch.
Yeah, this was, like, obnoxious mm-hmm. kids movie character, mm-hmm. you know, in a way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't say I was laughing throughout by any means, but I think after the fact now, you know, like thinking about it and like kind of the lessons and everything it was going for, I think largely the stuff it did worked. Mm-hmm. I think I appreciate it more now from afar. We mm-hmm. watched a couple days ago than mm-hmm. maybe I did when we watched it. Because yeah. I watched it and I didn't dislike it, and I also wasn't like, you know, Boniello, you know,
sure.
it was causing, a, you know, 2 feet of standing water for my tears here. But yeah, it was very well done. Again,
of course,
Pixar,
yeah.
excellent.
Yeah, and I also really appreciate this trend of like weird abstract existential concepts in our children's movies nowadays, especially as a new aunt. I look forward to watching some of this stuff with my nephew.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like when I was a kid, like I loved Aladdin, but I'm trying to remember what was the Aladdin all about? I mean, was there an actual like metaphor there, or was it just like, hey,
I mean,
be careful
was,
about magic lamps?
It was exactly what it was showing you. Like there wasn't anything beyond that. It wasn't like giving you any deep, you know, making you think about like the meaning of life like this movie did.
Yeah, I think Pixar is kind of operating on a different level there.
For sure.
Yeah. So
that's very well done movie. Not my favorite, but it was, you know, ambitious, and I admire it for sure.
Yeah, and I continue to be impressed by just the work Pixar does. They're clearly, you know, top of their game.
For sure.
Well, that is Soul. We made a little journey back to Disney Plus there.
Soul!
Yes. I feel like, Wonder Woman was HBO Max. We were actually going to cover Wonder Woman mm-hmm. this week, and then we were already just like, we never saw the first one. We've said plenty of times we're not comic book people. And so once we saw like just the general tenor of conversation around Wonder Woman was like, it's yeah. not great. It's like, okay, well, if even comic book movie people are saying it's not great, we're definitely not going to be into it.
Right.
So
I don't even want to see the superhero movies that people say are amazing.
Right. Like we don't see the Avengers movies. Yeah. So I'm happy that we went with Soul for sure.
Same.
All right. Well, before we go, first of all, thanks to everyone who is a patron
Thank you.
Of this here podcast, patreon.com/paintingthestream. We keep it real simple. One $5 tier
this one?
Gets you early episodes. You get them on Saturday instead of Sunday.
Wow.
You get ad-free episodes each and every week.
Wow.
You get access to our Discord there, shared with the Twitch folks, the folks at home.
Wow.
Excellent time there. And most importantly for you, written for you by Bonk, you've got a Bonku.
That's right, Daniel.
Yes.
This week, we are honoring our friend Stanley.
Stanley, hello.
Thank you for being a patron, Stanley. This Bonku is for you. I wrote to Stanley every week for many years, and then finally...
Damn it! What is this, the end of Sopranos? What is this? Jeez! Oh, man! I actually actively found myself being like, and finally what? Wow. Well, Stanley... Question mark.
Well, indeed.
By the way, Bonk, I don't know if you're aware of this or if you feel this at all, but behind your head, there is a spinny wheel mm-hmm. that I use. It's like a game show wheel that I use for a stream I did. And you have a hair on your head.
I do have a hair.
You have,
head,
you have
yes.
There's a hair structure back here with, I believe you have like a stick in it. And it's a bun. Is that, am I calling it correctly?
Yeah, I'm not, I don't have the stick in my hair, but yeah, go ahead.
You got something, you got a plastic thing in there.
It's
what
a,
is it?
It's a clip. It's
a clip. You got a clip. So as every minute motion of your head, you're kind of spinning the wheel. And I don't know if you can feel it or not, but just like this hypnotic wheel behind you is spinning.
I feel something.
Yeah, that's the wheel.
Oh, the wheel.
Yes, but also we've got a Hugh game question for the week.
Hugh game.
And here
Hugh
we go.
Game.
It is, if you could be anywhere in the world right now, where would you choose to be?
Right here with you.
I knew you were going to do that. You're too sweet. You're too damn sweet.
That's true.
And I was ready to disqualify that choice, but I feel the same way. I would like to be right here with you, but let's say we take that off the table.
Okay, anywhere in the world?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to put out of my mind any places that I haven't been.
Sure.
Because who knows, they might not live up to what I imagine
sure.
they would be like. So out of the places I have been, I would love to be with you and the two dogs in that tiny cabin in Bolinas, California.
man. That Bolinas, a secret little magical city.
It sure was.
Yeah, that would be an amazing place. That's a good answer. I was just thinking, you know, we're near the holidays and everything, and we were supposed to go back to Kansas
to see my
family, and I've not seen them in over a year. So the first thing that came to mind for me was me and you being being in Kansas with my family, celebrating. So.
All right, let me revise mine. We'd hang out with your family for a few weeks and then head over to Bolinas.
Or we all just hang out in Bolinas. How about that? My dad would probably be scared of the frogs or something.
I can't imagine your dad liking Bolinas, a place with... Well, maybe he would like it. One bar, one restaurant, it's simple.
I think he would, yeah. And also, he does appreciate cool views and nature and stuff like that. I remember I took him to Land's End in San Francisco, and he just loved it. And I took my mom and sisters, and they were like, it's cold! So, like, maybe my dad would actually really appreciate it there. But that is it for this week. Check out Soul on Disney Plus if you are so inclined. Hope you will join us. Keep subscribing to us throughout yet another year of Painting the Stream.
We couldn't do it without you, viewers or listeners.
I mean, we could.
We could, and we did for a while in the beginning. We didn't have a ton of listeners, and we still did it. So.
Yeah, we'd just be throwing MP3s onto the internet. Like, you can do that.
Yeah, that was an exaggeration, but it's all to say that we greatly appreciate you, and we're glad you're on board with us for another year as we embark into the year that will be 2021.
Absolutely, and Bonk, I'm looking forward to spending this time with you and the dogs in this here closet, or perhaps another closet if we get a house in a few months. We'll see. Fingers crossed. Turns out that's a complicated thing. It involves a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But thanks, everyone, for listening. Give us the old 5 stars. You know all this stuff. Thanks to Tom Monda
for
the theme song. And we will see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.